Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with DNZ reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Local, loyal, passionate. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd? Let's talk about how we increase your foot traffic and get people to visit your website. Email us today at faderoutemail@gmail.com or message us on our socials at faderoutepodcast on IG or slide in our DMs on X at faderoutednz so we can find the best package for you. It's the in route where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the in crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutednz, and you could be next. Part two of our interview with the Tri-State Hockey Pod's Arthur Staple starts right now. If you missed part one, you know what to do. Check out this week's episode of The Fade Route with DNZ. Since we're talking about tours, we are a New York sports show, and there's one team we have to highlight above the rest. The one that actually made the playoffs, the Buffalo Sabres. The longest playoff drought in sports has officially been passed to the New York Jets. So what has been the secret to their success this season compared to seasons past?
You know, I think it's weird to say, because firing a GM in the middle of the season for a team, you know, as early as they fired Kevin Adams and replaced him with Jarmo Kekäläinen, who they'd brought in kind of as an assistant GM advisor prior to the season. I think doing that sort of... it made everybody in that room who'd been so used to the losing and kind of not enough changing, I think it made them wake up and say, maybe ownership does care, you know, because Kevin Adams was hired under very kind of odd circumstances, a guy who played in the league, played for the Sabres, but was involved in their youth organization, had no real NHL coaching or management experience. And Terry Pegula, the owner there, you know, owners do what they do, and he decided that someone that he knew well, even though it wasn't someone who was experienced in managing an NHL team, brought him on. And I think they never really, the players there were kind of like, what are we doing here? Like, are we an NHL team, or are we kind of a pet project for our owner? And that just kind of infused the room, whether, you know, the losing seasons, good starts that got stopped. And even bringing back Lindy Ruff to coach there, who's, you know, a guy who had the most success behind the bench of Buffalo history. But that was, you know, that's 15 years ago, 16 years ago now. I think maybe the players didn't think that the ownership took them seriously. And I think that move, bringing in a guy like Jarmo, who is, you know, his track record in Columbus is certainly mixed. But he is a hockey guy. He knows the landscape. He knows the league. He knows just what to say. So I think that kind of made them take notice. And it's a good team. You know, it's always been a team that's got some decent young talent. They obviously needed better goaltending, which they've gotten this year. Alex Lyon, who's kind of been, I give that guy a lot of credit now in his 30s, where he's kind of been a goalie version of one of these coaches we were talking about. He's come into Detroit and kind of helped there. In Florida, he kind of helped stabilize things a couple of years ago as Bobrovsky's backup when they started to really turn things around in Florida. So, you know, I think the pieces have fallen into place, and really just kind of, you know, I think from what I understand talking to people around the team, I think Lindy, who's a pretty hands-on coach, another guy who's one of these top five all-time in wins and games coach, I think he just kind of said, okay, you know, it's your group, it's your room. Do what you need to do to succeed, because things just weren't working at that time, kind of midway through the year. And the players have really just run with it. You see kind of a lot of guys, you know, Rasmus Dahlin is an all-world player who's their captain. I think he's always been really good. And you know, you kind of waited for him to kind of follow that Jack Eichel path of getting fed up with being all the losing in Buffalo and ask out at some point. But it's great to see that kind of under his watch, young guys like Peyton Krebs, Alex Tuch is having a good year and a walk year. And we're kind of, you know, the big question was, would he get traded? Now it's like, doesn't he want to stay? The team's good again. So they have a lot to like there. And it's one of the great fan bases in the NHL, a really, really loyal group that's been tested a lot. You know, I've covered a lot of Islanders games over the year, and it's a smaller group, but it's very similar where, you know, the Buffalo ownership and management and the team itself has really tried their hardest to turn away some of those hardcore fans in Buffalo, and they won't go. And now they're being rewarded. So it is a nice thing to see. And really, you know, the East is pretty wide open. They've won the division, so they're going to get, it seems like they're going to get Boston in the first round based on what's happening tonight with the Bruins. That's kind of a nice storied old rivalry back to like the Ray Bourque days. So it's fun to see that be rekindled. And, you know, if Buffalo gets past that, you've got Tampa or Montreal. You know, it's a nice revival, and it's a good year for it too, because I think it's as wide open as it's ever been.
Oh yeah. This is a completely wide open situation. I mean, if you think about it, like, how many of those Western Conference teams wouldn't have sniffed an Eastern Conference playoff spot?
I know.
Like, it's the East is officially the beast, and it, you know, it good on Buffalo, but it makes you wonder, what if they kept Jack Eichel and they actually got him to like believe a little bit? Like, they might have been able to turn this around a little bit faster. But we've been talking about the playoffs and playoff adjacent teams, but we have to talk about the Rangers. Oh, this embarrassing centennial season from the New York Rangers. Despite decent goaltending from Igor and Jonathan Quick, who recently announced his retirement, best of luck in retirement, Quickie. The defense was atrocious. The offense wasn't that much better, but, you know, especially once they traded Panarin to the Kings, but they were near the top of the league in hits. So there's that. So what can the Rangers do to turn this ship around in Mike Sullivan's second season?
I just think some stability with the lineup. And, you know, it feels like in the last, you know, probably since the trade deadline, that I think maybe players have started to exhale a little bit from the last year plus, you know, starting kind of the summer before the 24-25 season when Barkley Goodrow goes on waivers, kind of the public standoff with Jacob Trouba that ends with him being traded a few months later. You know, these really jolted the room because those are two guys that were leaders. It was a team of talented veterans, but not a ton of vocal leaders. So you take those two guys out of the mix, you shake things up. There was the group chat to the GMs back in November of 24. Chris Drury offered up Trouba and Chris Kreider. I think that kind of knocked Chris Kreider for a loop a bit. So that 24-25 season was really just kind of marked with a lot of chaos and really self-inflicted chaos. It wasn't like somebody, you know, players got hurt or there was any sort of animating incident or, you know, a surprise trade. It was the GM saying, I want to change this group, and kind of elbowing his way through the room to kind of shake things up. And that the result was not, they didn't band together. They kind of fell apart. And even at that team had 85 points. This team is nowhere even close to that record wise. And I really think this season, you know, JT Miller is named captain. He gets hurt, kind of a soft tissue injury right on the eve of the season, tries to play through it for what seemed like the first two or three months and was just completely ineffective. And I'm sure being a first time captain, the weight of that being on his shoulders was really difficult to deal with. Vincent Trocheck gets hurt second week of the season. He's out for a month. A guy who's a real glue guy in that room and who's kind of carrying the message through a couple of different coaches and can kind of be a real adaptable player. You know, Artemi Panarin, they had very brief contract talks before the season started. The offer was, I think Panarin himself said, made it very clear that they didn't want him. Mm-hmm. So he's got that weighing on his head, and his teammates know that he's probably headed out the door if they're not playing well. So there's just a lot of factors. And then they couldn't score a goal. You know, Mike Sullivan really, I think the message of defense first and being a little bit tougher to play in front of their own net, in front of Igor Shesterkin, really got through, but they couldn't score those first few games. And all of a sudden you're like, well, this is nonsense. Like, we're not going to play this way. We're going to try to open it up because we can't score. And then all of a sudden you see kind of that way too wide open style the Rangers have played that Shesterkin has covered for in their good seasons, but has not been able to cover for in their bad ones. So A lot of factors, I think, at play to start this season. They trade Panarin and kind of this slow motion departure where he scratched for however long it was and picks his, the place he can go because of his no move clause. And the blowback from that, you know, I think influenced Chris Drury at the deadline for not moving Vincent Trocheck. Probably rightly so, given that this summer he may be the only center with any value who could be available. So I give Drury credit for that. And I think Drury is starting to understand, too, that the, you know, kind of the human side of things, that how you treat your people, is pretty important in this day and age in pro sports, and especially in hockey, because I think he maybe just assumed that the group before would accept whatever was happening with the players that were on their way out. And it didn't happen that way. So, I think he maybe is working with a little bit of a gentler touch this year. You see bounce back season for Mika Zibanejad. Adam Fox has had a couple of injuries and certainly had the Olympic snug, but he's had a great season too. Vlad Gavrikov, a great first year on a long-term deal. Alexi Lafreniere has looked good in the back half of the season. And I think the best part of it for me these last couple months is seeing not just a guy like Gabe Perreault, who's a first-round pick, solidify himself as an NHLer, but guys you would never have thought, guys like Yaroslav Hamelosz, who's a mid-round pick and had been playing in the AHL a couple of years, Adam Sikora, second-round pick, who's been playing in the AHL a couple of years, even a guy like Ty Cartier, scooped off waivers from Seattle, a team that never scores goals. This guy comes in and it looks like he's shot out of a cannon every single night. So
he's got wheels, yeah.
You've got young guys in these spots. You need hungry players in these bottom six, muck it up, stick their nose in roles, and you still got the skill guys like Zibanejad, like Laf, like Perreault. JT Miller looks healthier now and is really producing. Will Cooley's had a good back half of the year. So suddenly you're starting to see some light at the end of this tunnel where maybe they don't need to keep completely shaking it up this offseason. You can decide whether or not you want to trade Trocheck. You've got a decision to make on Braden Schneider, who's an RFA. My personal feeling is you should probably move on from him and get another couple of pieces to shore up the defense behind that top pair. But there's been a lot of changes and a lot of uncertainty, I think, around these veterans. Guys saying if they can dump our captain in Trouba in such a rough way, and if they can dump Barkley Goodrow in such a rough way, will I be next? And that's very destabilizing. So now maybe you're seeing a little bit more stability. You're seeing a little bit more life in that room. And, you know, going into next season, like I was saying, outside of Carolina, who does what they do every year in the Metro, does anybody in that Metro division really scare you going into next year?
No.
I don't think so. So I think there's room there. The Islanders did what they did. Jersey's in the process of doing what they're doing with their front office and possibly coaching staff, but they certainly have a great team. And I think the Rangers can be right there. You know, when Igor Shesterkin is playing his best, there's nobody better. And they've got Adam Fox, and they've got a pretty ready-made top line of Perreault, Zibanejad, and Lafreniere that's been really good for a couple months, and all these kind of hungry young guys in the mix for forward spots. They have to thread a needle and do some things this summer, but I feel like there's a path back to relevance for them pretty quickly.
Definitely. And I think, you know, you probably need like a veteran center. So like Taylor Radish actually had a pretty decent year too.
Yeah.
All told. But it's one of those, like, they're running up against it all the time, especially with those no movement clauses. So I understand why Drury tried to do what he did, but I definitely agree with you that there's a better way to go about it. And
yeah.
I've been saying it's a miracle. I don't understand how he kept his job. Be perfectly honest with you.
Well,
like you run people out like that, you rub people the wrong way.
No, there's only one guy he answers to, and that guy tends to zig when everybody else zags. So Jim Dolan does what he does, and he still has a lot of faith in Chris Drury. Gave him an extension last summer, so yeah. He'll be here. But they do have the coach in place that Drury's always wanted, and I think Mike Sullivan. I think maybe people sort of dismissed the fact that he's here because they just didn't have a good season right from day one. But this guy is an elite coach. He's one of those guys I put in that upper echelon of these other guys we were mentioning. So to have that situation of some stability, and again, you look at the other two local teams, Jersey's, what are they going to do? Islanders have changed their entire front office and now their coach in the last year. So sometimes that stability can help.
Completely. You don't win an Olympic gold medal by accident.
No,
so he's got to kind of have to know something.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that includes Drury, too, as an assistant GM. But, you know, to get you out of here on this one, we'll rinse out our mouths from the Rangers season. We'll get you out of here with a little Stanley Cup prediction. We're going to have a new champ this year because the Florida Panthers are out. Injury bug. You want to talk about injury bug? That was amazing. But what's your Stanley Cup Finals matchup and who takes it home?
Dallas was my pick at the beginning of the year. Actually, I think I had Dallas over the Devils as my preseason pick. Wow. And really, whatever it was, 17 games in, the Devils looked like a pretty good pick come out of the East. And then it all fell apart. So I'm going to stick with Dallas. I like what they do. You know, I really like some of their pieces. If Miro Heiskanen is injured beyond the first round, you know, the first few days of the playoffs, though, all bets are off. I love that guy. Mm-hmm. He's one of the quietest star defensemen in the league. So I'm not so sure that Jake Oettinger can carry them the way that he needs to with missing a piece like Heiskanen. But the rest of their team, Wyatt Johnston's going to, you know, a star in this league, a 40 goal scorer. Jason Robertson, we already know about. So I like Dallas to go to the finals. I think they'll get through that gauntlet with Minnie and Colorado. And in the East, I hate to go back to a familiar team. Like we said, it's wide open, but I feel like the Lightning got something going on this year. John Cooper should be in the running for the Jack Adams. It's funny when you don't win one or you have a really talented team like he's had a lot of the time, you kind of get overlooked for those awards. And maybe, you know, the Jack Adams winner usually gets fired within a couple of years, so maybe he doesn't want to win it. But the job that he's done missing Eric Cernak for 20 plus games, Victor Hedman's missed half the season, Ryan McDonough's missed a ton of time. You just see them plug in these guys, and it's credit to their development too that they can get guys from the AHL and have them come up. Guys who you've never heard, like you could be the most avid prospect watcher and you have no idea. Dominic James, Charles Edward Dastu straight from France. Like these are guys you would never ever know in a million years, and they come in and they're not just filling in spots, they're actually contributing. So I like the vibe that they've got going on. And really, with Sorokin and Shesterkin not in the playoffs, who would you take in a seven-game series in the East other than Andrei Vasilevsky at this point? You know, I know he's got plenty of mileage on him, but he's certainly got that winning pedigree. He's not it's not like he's in his late 30s either. He's still a pretty young guy. So I think that first round series is going to be a beast with Montreal. I love that Canadiens team. I just don't know if they have the D and the goaltending to compete with Tampa. Tampa-Buffalo in the second round would be awesome. I don't know if Buffalo is even going to get by Boston because of Jeremy Swayman. But I think it's going to be Tampa. Carolina's always kind of the vogue pick, but they got to prove it to me that they can get through three rounds. It hasn't happened yet. They're probably happy the Rangers aren't anywhere near the playoffs since they see their kryptonite. But I'll say Tampa, Dallas, and I'm going to say Dallas hoist the cup.
That's a solid pick right there. That's definitely a solid pick. And sorry again to our friends up north. Another year that Canada does not hoist the Stanley Cup.
No. This is not. I mean, Montreal, you know, I do like Ottawa against Carolina. I think the Sens could really pull that upset there because that's a really good team. As long as they get some decent goaltending from Linus Ullmark, I think they'll be right in there swinging with Carolina. But we were talking about Edmonton kind of taking a step back, and they're really the only Canadian team now out west, and Montreal maybe is the last Canadian hope. And like I said, you know, Marty St. Louis, Jeff Gordon, Kent Hughes have really done a good job. That team is so much fun to watch. Cole Caulfield getting 50 goals. Nick Suzuki, 100 points. Juraj Slavkovsky's had a great year. That's a line that you'd love to have being your number one line for the next 15 years, maybe all three really good young guys. But I just don't know if they have the depth to get past Tampa and then try to get through the gauntlet of two more rounds.
Well, like we know, there's nothing like playoff hockey. And Arthur Staple, thank you for coming on. Appreciate you. So Tri-State Hockey Pod, tell us where we can find it. When do you broadcast? And tell us all about it.
It's been a fun project. It's me, Johnny Lazarus, who covers the Rangers and is kind of everywhere and anywhere and everywhere on your social media. And Mike Rupp. Stanley Cup champion, former right. Ranger, all around great guy. So we break down all three local teams twice a week. Shows usually come out Mondays or Tuesdays and Fridays, and it's on the Daily Faceoff platform on YouTube and anywhere else you find your podcasts. And it's our first year doing it, and we've successfully killed all three of the teams that we talk about. First time ever in NHL history since the Devils came into existence that all three New York area teams are missing the playoffs at the same time. So to say it's been a monumental first season of our podcast is probably an understatement.
It's only up from here, right?
That's right.
We're not
That's
saying right. you're the kiss of death. We're not going to say it.
Maybe we'll get some secret bribes from the three teams' owners to never do this again. But for now, it's been pretty fun.
Well, thank you for coming on, Arthur Staple. And if you want to join us on the InRoute, hit us up, FadeRouteMail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at FadeRoute Podcast. Drop us a line on X at FadeRouteDNZ. And you could be the next member of the InCrowd. Arthur Staple, thank you for joining us. And hopefully we will have you on again very soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.